Still broadcasting from the Civic Cypher Studios, this is the QR Code, where we share perspective, seek understanding, and shape outcomes. The man you are about to hear from is a man who, when he hugs you like he means it. You should be so lucky. He is the Q in the QR Code. He goes by the name of Q Ward.
The voice that you just heard, the man that you just heard, goes by the name of Ramses Ja. He is the R in the QR code. And I have to tell you about that intentionality. Every time I see someone parting company with someone they love and they're not crying, I say they don't get it. Because there's this taking for granted that we do with people that we care about that I try my hardest not to do. When I see people parting ways and one of them is bawling, I'm like, okay, that person understands just how temporary this life thing is.
And we need you to stick around, because we're still talking about that Anthony Joshua versus Jake Paul fight and the overtones and undertones of that. We're also going to ask the question, what was your favorite gift in your lifetime, since men are so hard to shop for? We may give you some ideas. But right now, it is time for Q Ward's clap back, because they borrow from our struggle only to betray us in the end. Q.
Black celebrities, Black billionaires, Black multimillionaires, Black tastemakers, Black culture creators who came from these communities anchored in struggle, suddenly standing arm in arm with MAGA, a movement that has repeatedly championed policies, rhetoric, violence, and systems that specifically harm Black people. People who benefited from the civil rights movement. People who benefited from affirmative action. People who benefited from DEI. Those who used and benefited from our culture. That culture that loved them before the world even knew who they were. Suddenly, telling the rest of us, stop complaining. Stop playing the victim. Just work harder. Both sides are the same. That's my favorite. Meanwhile, they're smiling next to people who have openly legislated against our humanity. And this is not a coincidence. This is design. MAGA doesn't use politics to convert or recruit. It's something that happens psychologically. MAGA has learned something powerful. If you want political loyalty from a Black celebrity, don't even talk about policy. Start with their pain. Start with, you've been misunderstood. They tried to silence you. You're too powerful. That's why they attack you. You're brave for standing alone. You're not a follower. You're not a sheep. You're an independent thinker. They very subtly and sometimes aggressively lean into ego, resentment, isolation, even insecurity, and the universal human desire to feel seen and understood. They speak to the wound and not to the mind. Because once you can win someone over emotionally, well, their politics follow. Once the ego is flattered, here comes the poison. You didn't succeed because of opportunity. You succeeded because you're better. You didn't make it because the community supported you. You made it because you were above them. You don't need that ladder anymore, so why not kick it down? They turn their success into superiority. They turn privilege into proof of exceptionalism. They turn distance from struggle into identity elevation. And once someone believes that, we collectively watch as their empathy shrinks. Community feels optional. Solidarity with anyone feels beneath them. And then MAGA looks at each other and smiles. mission accomplished. They rebrand that betrayal as courage. You're brave for thinking different. You're such a strong free thinker. You're standing up against the mob. You're not like other Black people. Mm-hmm. Notice the language. They don't say you are one of us. They just say you're not one of them. Psychological warfare. Rewriting what it means to belong. It relocates identity. It isolates them from us while giving them applause as a substitute for connection. They offer something dangerous to Rams. Protection. The mainstream world, like us, we demand accountability. That makes people feel attacked sometimes. Mm. Mac has no such thing. They celebrate recklessness. They defend misinformation. They protect ego. They don't even bother to question morality anymore. We'll never turn on you, they say. We'll protect you and stand by you no matter what you say, no matter what you do. You're safe with us. But blind loyalty is not love. And with MAGA, it's more like a lease than any sense of ownership. And the payment, political allegiance. MAGA does not chase Black celebrities because they support Black advancement. They chase them because they need the cultural credibility that comes with it. Confusion inside Black communities. Division where unity once existed. Proof that they aren't racist. See, we got one. Oh. She agrees with us. See, so racism must not be real, right? They don't want Black voices. They want Black shields. This is the playbook. Validate pain, inflate ego, promise protection, provide spotlight, separate from community, and then hand them a microphone to punch down at their own people. So let's call it what it is. This is not independent thinking. It's not bravery. It's not enlightenment. This is a co-op, ego manipulation, exploitation of trauma, and using Black pain as a recruitment tool, convincing people who made it up the ladder to pull it up behind them and then call it strength. MAGA doesn't love these celebrities, Ramses. They just love what these celebrities can do for them. And when they're done, as we've seen, they will drop them just as fast as they embrace them.
Whew, man, you know how to take the air out of a room. That is heavy. Well said, sir. Yeah. All right. The clock is ticking, so let's keep moving. Men are hard to shop for. I don't know why I picked this one. This is my fault. I don't even know what to say here. What is your favorite gift? Okay, I'm going to share this, and then you're going to have to go first, because I got nothing. All right. Most men don't spend time making wish lists. They've got all the essentials already, and if they want something, they just buy it, leaving you with no clues. From aftershaves to favorite snacks, they stick to what works. New is a tough sell. They like what they like and stick to it. Okay, so, you know, people are shopping, and what do you get for a male that you don't know what to shop for? So maybe you could share some gifts or a gift that you've got in your life that stands out in your memory.
You know, the interesting thing about my favorite gift ties in with the show.
Okay.
And I actually have two, and they both tie directly to our show.
Okay. What are those gifts?
The first one, directly at the genesis of what we're doing. And the other one is a seed that was planted long before the QR code or civic cipher was ever even imagined.
Okay.
I'll start with the most recent. I forget what year she bought it for me, but Arlene bought me a wallet. It was a Louis Vuitton wallet. And it was my favorite gift ever.
I remember that.
And I was not a wallet carrier. I just had stuff in my pocket. And she noticed that and was like, yeah, you're an adult and you probably need a wallet.
Okay. I like that.
She bought me a wallet and you and I had to go to Tucson.
Okay.
To sit down and talk to Steve Earnhardt about what had just happened at the beat. And I took out my wallet to pay for, I think it was lunch we had.
Okay.
And Steve was like, oh no, I got it. And I put my wallet either down on the table or down in the booth next to us. And then that conversation turned into, I think we might have a home for you guys here. And that doom and gloom that came with leaving the job that we had to now having what felt like a bigger and better opportunity completely spaced on my wallet, and didn't realize until we were back in Phoenix that I didn't have it. And I called that restaurant and they couldn't find it, but I know we left it there because some tourist or some visitor or some student there went back home and took that wallet with them and tried to spend chips.
Oh man.
Thank goodness for fraud protection, because they tried to spend chips.
Oof.
And dip.
And dip.
Yeah, they tried to spend the chips and the dip, and I ain't have it. And but they were somewhere in Florida. Oh, but as you can imagine, they could have took all them cards out and left my wallet. But it was a nice wallet. It was a very, very expensive wallet. I first got it and saw how much it cost. I was looking at it like, you could have gave me them couple dollars. The price of this wallet is crazy. So yeah, that was my favorite gift. It was the most practical gift I'd ever been given.
Sure,
and it was the size of it, the texture of it, the look of it, everything was perfect. So that was my favorite gift. And we never really been able to replace it. And we've tried. We've bought other wallets, nice wallets, expensive wallets, but I have not been able to replace or find that very, very unique wallet.
That makes me sad.
Oh no, I was tore up about it.
Yeah,
a lot of time. My brother, my co-host, my teammate, he has these, what I call maniacal like visions.
You talking about me?
That he can't not see to fruition.
Okay.
And I'm like, Rams, that's not important. We don't have to do that. And he's like, no, but
yeah.
He's not himself or someone else that he was going to do it. So now it has to happen.
Yeah. I'm like that.
And it's like, Rams, we don't even need. And y'all can't see my face, but he can.
He's telling the truth. Go ahead.
And Rams is just like, no, I said I would, so I have to. No, you don't have to. You don't. I'm with you. I'm sitting right here. You do not. I said I would, so I have to.
Yeah.
So once upon a time, Ramses, since now he realizes who I'm talking about, just bought a really, really nice watch. And, you know, I had like a Fossil joint.
Yeah.
The Fossil joint was cold to me. Like,
yeah.
Or I might have had a Timex, or it was just something, you know, that you can get at the mall or like Walmart or like Tilly's or like PacSun, like for $75. Mm. And to me, the $75 watch was the like, that was the, you know what I'm saying? If you got the $75 watch, you got the top tier Fossil. Because you could have got the Michael Kors, and you know, I just really wasn't in that world like that. But he had just bought a nice watch, and he said what I thought kind of like jokingly, yo, I'm getting you one. And I was like, you probably don't have to do that. You probably don't have to worry about that at all, because this Timex and this iPhone both tell incredible time. Mm. Like, it's accurate. It's on the Marine Master joint. That's the, you know what I'm saying?
British mean time.
Same time. Like, it's awesome.
Sure.
He's like, no, I'm going to get you one. And every year he would bring it back up. And I'm like, Ramses, I don't need that. Like, we can go to Africa for that much, or back to Asia, or to Seychelles, or the moon. Like, we can go a lot of places for how much that watch you talking about costs. And this iPhone got the World Marine Master joint. Like, I can pull up Tokyo right now. Yeah. At the same, and Cairo and Detroit at the same time, to the millisecond. It's perfect. Okay. He's like, no, man, I got to get you one. And a couple birthdays ago, I step into my office, because Ramses is like a sneaky, conniving.
Forgot about that.
He's like a sneaky, conniving. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can't see my face again, but he can. And there's this green box with gold on it. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all might know what that means. Yeah. There's this green box with gold on it sitting on my desk for my birthday. And I open up this green box, and there is a two-tone date just vintage watch sitting on my desk. And inscribed in it is the first hashtag I ever typed, and I am without equivocation certain the first person that ever typed this hashtag was me. And that hashtag was keep going. And I know it was me, because it was like, whenever Twitter came out, I was the first person to hashtag that. There might be some research that we can do to verify that. And yeah, it was a very, very special gift that I never would have got myself, but that I appreciate so much. I didn't know how much of a big deal it would be to me to get it until I got it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so those, the two people that gave the gifts add to how special they were. One of them was hyper practical. The other, I'll say this because I don't have a lot of time left. I was at a very, very important business dinner meeting in Los Angeles, California, at this private members only place. And I'm sitting having dinner. There's 5 men at the table. Every man at the table had one of those watches on, and I had on an Apple Watch, and it shouldn't have mattered, but it did. And I think that's what pushed Ramses over the ledge, because I talked about that dinner, and then my birthday was like 6 weeks after that, and that box showed up on my desk. So yeah, man, that's, they say we're hard to shop for, but the people that know you know that's not true, because that thought, that count thing matters. Like, who the gift comes from matters, and the people that pay attention know what to get you. And you know, both of those people and both of those gifts really are things that stay with me forever.
I like that, man. It feels really good to know that mattered to you, and that you matter to people enough to think of you in that way. And I think that you're right. That's really kind of the main thing. I get how men are hard to shop for, because it's like, we're not really accustomed to receiving gifts as much as we are accustomed to giving them, I would guess, in mass. But you know, if I'm just kind of floating some advice, something that's practical and useful always helps. It always lands, or something that's special. My son gave me a ring. It doesn't fit any of my fingers. He might've been five when he gave me this ring. And it says dad on the ring, and it's like plastic. And that's the whole thing. It's worthless to anybody else in the world. I'll have it, and they may as well put it in my casket, because my baby gave it to me, you know? So, you know, it's, I think that just knowing that you feel well loved by a man in your life is gift enough. And anything that accompanies that, I'm sure it'll be well received. There's a reason we're hard to shop for, because we're pretty simple, you know. So I hope that helps. I appreciate your story, Q, but we do have to move on, unfortunately, and talk about this guy. So I'll paint the picture, and I want you to go first here, because you typically have a lot more to offer sports stories. But yeah, Anthony Joshua versus Jake Paul fight recap. So I'm going to share. This is from Yahoo Sports and Uncrowned. Love him or hate him, Jake Paul knows how to draw a reaction out of people. Friday's latest sideshow fight was no different. In a matchup that baffled the fight world, former two-time unified heavyweight boxing champion Anthony Joshua made easy work of Paul, dropping the YouTuber turned pugilist four times en route to a brutal six-round knockout live on Netflix. Joshua was an overwhelming bet. MGM favorite, I guess that's how you say that, coming into the weekend for good reason. The Englishman, who stands 6'6" with a monstrous 82-inch reach, towered over Paul in both stature and resume, and he put those advantages to good use. After a slow start, Joshua battered Paul around the ring in a bizarre and lopsided fight that saw Paul repeatedly dive for Joshua's legs as if he was shooting at an MMA-style double leg takedown. Paul said afterward he believed he suffered a broken jaw due to Joshua's powerful punches, and his promotion partner confirmed it. So that's what happened, for those that missed it. We're talking about this particular fight because it's Jake Paul, and Jake Paul his political affiliations have caused him to be more divisive than he already was. So I'll let you go first, Q, as promised. So your thoughts, and you can weigh in.
I don't want to take up too much of the oxygen on this because you know how I feel about boxing. You know, I was tuned in. There's a very, very interesting thing that happens here, man. And you and I were talking about Dave Chappelle, who brought up Jack Johnson. Mm-hmm. And reminded everybody in his new special that heavyweight boxing in this country has never just been about just fighting.
Yeah.
When he told the story of Jack Johnson, he was reminding us that that heavyweight ring has always been a place where this country wrestled with race, power, and identity. And Jack Johnson didn't just win fights. Him being who he was challenged the racial order of this country. And that system, this very system that we still live under, tried to crush him for it. So when we talk about Jake Paul versus Anthony Joshua as just entertainment, I think people are missing a kind of deeper connection here, because Jake Paul isn't here because he like climbed the mountain of boxing greatness. He didn't beat a bunch of champions to get the right to fight Anthony Joshua. He got there through celebrity, money, and what some may even call cultural power. Anthony Joshua is in the lineage of a black fighter who actually earned his place. He comes from the tradition of a Jack Johnson who risked everything to make it possible. So yeah, you know, it's a Netflix fight with a YouTuber or a celebrity influencer and a real boxing champion. And yeah, of course it's hype because it made $100 million or something crazy like that. But it's also symbolic because we talk about something that boxing has always forced us to confront. Who gets to be taken seriously? Who gets to be called great? And who gets to stand on the biggest stage and why? For Anthony Joshua to be standing there, he had to start off as an amateur, go to the Olympics, win a gold medal, become a multi-time heavyweight champion, and then cross over from the UK, where they really, really value boxing, but just have a much smaller population and spend less money than we do, to come over to the States and stand on that stage. All Jake Paul had to do to get there was be famous. That's a crazy thing to be true. And Jake Paul was the one that demanded the higher purse. So, of course, this fight wasn't about belts. Neither of them is a champion anymore. Or, you know, Joshua, not anymore. Jake Paul never was. It was about a legitimate boxer versus a celebrity. An authentic fighter versus someone who was made by algorithms. Legacy versus manufactured importance. And the world stopped to watch, which tells us a lot about what our culture rewards. Dave Chappelle's reminder was simple. Boxing has always told the truth about society. The names change, the platforms change, but conversations about race, power, politics, and who we choose to elevate, those conversations never left the ring. Notably, before I volley this back to you, bro, Jake Paul came out to the music and wearing the clothes of the recently deceased Hulk Hogan. a very problematic public figure for reasons that I think all of us know. That was a very intentional choice. A very intentional choice.
Yeah, and I know there's people that are going to point to the people that were in his, that like the coaches or whatever, that fix him up after the rounds are over, that he had like black people in his corner or whatever, but...
Trainer and she are both black men.
Okay, so, but you know, as we've stated, you know, there's an allure that comes with the idea of being close to whiteness, that proximity to whiteness. So, I don't know those men in the corner with him. Makes no difference to me. But and then I want to just make sure that I patch this just in case. Hulk Hogan was recorded saying that he basically was saying the N-word. He was talking about his daughter and he was using the N-word quite a bit. Like, I don't care if you date an N-word, just make it an 8-foot-tall N-word from the NBA with $100 million. You know, but I just don't want you dating some regular N-word. That was sort of his thing. And all of us that grew up with Hulk Hogan as a childhood hero were like, oh my God. You know, and for people that have problems with the N-word, ask yourself a question, like, have you ever referred to a white person using that language? And if not, then you understand that specificity and that historical context, how insulting and how hurtful that can be. I, Ramses, I know that my ancestors, some of them, the last word that they ever heard in their life before they died screaming in terror or on fire or getting ripped apart or beaten to death, some of those folks, the last word they ever heard was that word. So it is deeply offensive to me. You know, all I know about Jake Paul is that, you know, let me back up. You mentioned Jack Johnson. He ended up fighting a Canadian person. Dave Chappelle talked about this. And the Americans were rooting for the white Canadian man, not the American black man, right?
That still happens to this day.
Okay, so watch this.
A foreign fighter comes here and the Americans root for them rather than the black American, who in some cases is the champion.
Right, right. So with Jake Paul... he's become a MAGA favorite. Indeed, Donald Trump had stuff to say about him after he lost this fight. But if you remember, after he fought Mike Tyson, an aged, older Mike Tyson, and won that fight, he came out and he was talking about how Trump is going to save us and all this sort of stuff. And again, he lost a lot of like cool points. It's like, oh man, this is, you're riding with the Nazis and the white supremacists. You might not feel that way, but that's the team you're on. And so, there was a lot more to this fight than many people might have considered, especially if these problems don't make their way to you or these concerns don't make their way to you. So with that in mind, we're going to leave it right here. That's it for us on today's show. Today's show, for those who don't know, was produced by Chris Thompson. If you have any thoughts you'd like to share, do us a favor. Use the red microphone talkback features on the iHeartRadio app. And while you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. Also, be sure to find us on all social media platforms. You can do so. We are located at Civic Cipher. That is CivicCipher. You can find me on all platforms at Ramses Ja.
I am Q Ward on all social media as well.
And we'd appreciate a follow, a subscribe, a like, if you're on YouTube or Instagram in particular. And be sure to join us next time as we share our news with our voice from our perspective right here on the QR code.